webcast at spectrum360media.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, news, politics, and arts from a creative and progressive point of view.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you're walking on.
Hey, a little bit of Bob Dylan for you. I just found out. Good old Bob Dylan turned 80 today. Boy, does that make us all feel a little bit older, right? Golly, I remember when he was wandering around, the young guy from Hibbing, Minnesota, by the way. Bob Dylan. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for being with us today on Bob Dylan's birthday. It's Monday, May 24th. In a few minutes, Neville Kramer will get together with us. He is a former immigration agent. He's now a security consultant. We're going to talk about the latest in that Mexican border crisis. By the way, it's not getting any better. It's not getting any better. We'll talk about that. As well as security issues now facing Jews in the United States and in Israel. We'll talk about that as well with him. And is the Republican Party doing a pivot to reclaim its mantle of fiscal responsibility by going after the Biden spending programs? We're going to, the national debt is almost $30 trillion. $30 trillion. We're going to get some thoughts about this and other things from our eye in the northern sky a little bit later in the show, Angelo Ceresi. Stay tuned for that as well. And in another edition of Campus Quackery, parents rising up against a Florida County School Board's pledge to dismantle white advantage. We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 states with the highest lifetime taxes, where you would, if you lived your entire life there, what states where would you pay the highest taxes? We're going to tell you. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Best barber in town for you guys in Tampa Bay, in my opinion. They're located in Dunedin in the Overcast Plaza. That's just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. And a little plug out and a shout out to Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday. They precede our show, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen. I think Paul's down in Miami right now at some sort of a trade show. He will be back tomorrow along with Tracy. Start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. Good Morning Clearwater. All right. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci says he is now starting to think there's a chance that COVID-19 came out of that lab in Wuhan. Now, even he is saying it. He said he is not convinced that the virus developed naturally. Well, I think we're all pretty much, with a little bit of thought, going to figure that the Wuhan lab is indeed where this thing came from, not just coincidentally a couple of miles away in some meat market, when they're doing all of this viral research inside that lab. That's where it came from. So here's what he said. There's a lot of cloud. This is Fauci. There's a lot of cloudiness around the origins of COVID-19 still. So I wanted to ask, I'm sorry, this is a question that was posed to him. I wanted to ask, are you still confident that the virus developed naturally? And then he says, Fauci, no, actually. I am not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we continue to find out to the best of our ability what happened. Well, I think he knows. I think he's almost 100% sure that it developed in the lab. And here's what Rand Paul asked him. Will you, in front of this group, categorically say that COVID-19 virus could not have occurred by serial passage in a lab? Well, Fauci did not explicitly answer that particular question. He said, I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done, and I'm fully in favor of any further investigation of what went on in China. Well, anyway, I think people are finally coming around to the idea that it did come out of the lab. Speaking about Rand Paul, he said he's not going to get vaccinated against the virus. He's an ophthalmologist, by the way. Did you know that? He was a doctor. And the reason is he's already got the virus. He had it already. He tested positive back in March of last year. In fact, he was the first known senator to get the disease. So he said, until they show me evidence that people who have already got the infection are dying in large numbers or being hospitalized or getting very sick, I'm not getting vaccinated. Well, that makes sense. I wouldn't get vaccinated, I don't think, either, if I already got it. By the way, I'm seeing more and more people wandering around the stores without masks. I would say I use Publix as a gauge, since I go there all the time. I would say close to half the people I'm seeing in there, Ed, are not wearing masks anymore. I'd say 40% are not wearing masks. You don't get any strange looks when you go in without a mask anymore.
Well, last time I was in Walmart, I think it was maybe 60, 40 people in masks. That was sometime last week. And then Publix just recently, probably 50-50.
Yeah.
But it's the other entities that are now dropping the mask on the door. You know, the door to enter, you must have a mask on.
Yes.
So it's like the 7-Elevens or places like that are not requiring that you...
No, I don't think the 7-Elevens are requiring it anymore at all. I don't know about, like, the big hardware stores like Lowe's, Home Depot. I'm not sure about it. In fact, I'm going to Lowe's after the show. But I'll find out. I will do my own test. I will report back to you tomorrow on what percentage of people in Lowe's were wearing
masks. And if they stop you, if you don't have your mask, if they stop you, make sure you cause a ruckus and get the police called on you.
I'm going to pick up one of their hammers and walk down the aisle looking for trouble. Yeah. So, very interesting, though, right? We're kind of coming out of the fog. That's what I would say. It's a positive thing. Very positive thing. So a little bit later, we're going to talk about white advantage and critical race theory. Oh, I know what I can mention before we go to break. Kamala Harris, did you know she's gone 61 days now without a news conference? We keep tab on these things. She's gone more than 2 months without a news conference. She's the border czar. Why should she hold a news conference about the border? There's nothing going on. There's nothing going on, nothing to see at the border, right? It's all is quiet on the southern front. So she's been 61 days now without a conference, also 61 days without going to the border. Boy, she was at the border when she was that senator from California. Then she was at the border. Did you know that? Made a big stink about the border when Trump was running the White House. She made a huge stink about it. But now that she's the border czar, no time to go to the border. I got to go to a bakery in New Hampshire.
Well, if you remember, during the Trump administration, she was down there in tears with all the children.
Yeah, exactly.
Now she's talking about a border, but it's not the right border. She's getting on North Korea.
Yeah, she's going to go to the Korean border. There we go.
She still can't find the right border.
No. And she's the border czar. And also, she won't hold a news conference. She's like Biden. They hate to speak to people. They hate to be asked questions, I guess. I don't know. Okay, anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, our old buddy Neville Kramer, great security consultant, is going to join us. We're going to talk about things at the border, as well as how do the Israelis and Jewish people these days, they're getting really, it's getting dangerous for them. We'll talk to him about that as well.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is Paul Anderson.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major.
Hey, we are back. Delighted to have our buddy Neville Kramer join us. He is a security consultant and an author of a great book called Immigration Chaos. And he was also a former agent. Former immigration agent. So who better to talk with about what is going on? And I forgot, Neville, you're going to be going in for a little, you took a spill, and I think you're out in your car. You're nice enough to join us, and it'll be a little bit of a shortened interview, but thank you so very much for coming on. First of all, are you feeling better?
I am. Good morning, Paul, and good morning, Ed. I am. I'm feeling much better, and in fact, I'm not quite in the car yet because I called and got an extension on the time at the doctor's office, which is an impossibility.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then I feel more relieved because I should have brought you on a little bit sooner. So that's
I told them I was going to be with Paul Malloy's radio show. I said, absolutely, you come in when you can.
Of course they will.
There you know,
they all stop and listen. What? Well, anyway, Neville, it's always a delight to have you. We got two things going on that I wanted to talk to you about. Obviously, the southern border situation is continuing. I do not think it's getting better. And also, what's going on right now in Israel and attacks on Jews here in the United States. And the reason I even bring it up to you is because as a security consultant, I just wonder if there's anything that Jewish people might be able to do, you know, to protect themselves. But let's start with the situation at the southern border. More people coming across. The Biden White House, I think, continues to wag the dog on some other things because they don't want to take any questions about the border. Do you think things are getting any better at all down there?
No, absolutely not, Paul. It's getting worse, and it's going to get worse. I'll tell you an interesting little thing that I spoke to someone down there about, and I'm a big advocate, as well as several of us, of bringing back former Border Patrol agents who are trained and would know what to do down there to back up the current Border Patrol. And the reason that they say they're not quietly bringing back ex-Border Patrol agents as rehired annuitants is because they're too qualified. They're too good, and they will stop some of the flow, and they don't want to stop the flow.
Oh my goodness!
So they have decided that they're going to send people from NASA down there, and they're going to begin to ask people from Health and Human Services.
NASA,
a month or two of their
time. And HHS are going to go down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh great! What's NASA doing down there? Is this supposed to be outer space? Is this? I mean, what's going on here?
I guess No, I get, well, there are aliens that are coming in.
Oh, yes.
You say aliens.
Now I got
it. It's all this, you know, yeah.
Of course.
It's not the first time, by the way. That
these are aliens from another planet, then. They're not aliens from another country. I see.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we'd rather have some of the aliens from, you know, some of the new UFO guys.
Yeah, we could learn something from them.
Coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So, okay, we're laughing about this, but it's a horrible thing. We have all heard the stories. You know, it's dangerous. It's dangerous, especially for children, women, anybody. They make that huge trip. I mean, if you think about the thousands of miles that some of these people are walking, I mean, things must be awfully lousy in their country to go through this. But then you've got the coyotes. These are the people that are taking advantage of the situation, the drug runners, the ones that are making money on this whole thing, the ones that are basically holding these people that want to come into our country hostage, even when they get into the country. I mean, all of this criminality that's going on, Neville.
Yeah, and interestingly, what historically, you know, this has completely changed in Mexico. But you mentioned the coyotes. They're no longer around. The old coyotes used to smuggle 5, 10, 15 people in the back of a pickup truck or across the river or whatever. That whole operation is gone. Now it's run by professional cartels that are in control of the entire border area, and the Border Patrol is overwhelmed. This is a very well-run operation. They know where the locations are to bring them in. They know about diversionary tactics. They're basically all armed. The military in Mexico is up against the wall. They don't know how to handle this stuff. And we're in a situation now where our security is at risk because there's a lot of bad people coming across that border right now in and amongst the poor people who are seeking refuge in the United States for one reason or another.
I'm going to give you a question that I don't think you deserve or need to answer. The Biden administration knows this. They know it. They know exactly what's going on with bad people coming across that border. And yet they won't finish building a wall or provide real security down. They don't. It sounds like they don't want to. And
no, you said it.
And why doesn't anybody confront Biden? Why doesn't somebody stand up when he allows two or three questions from specially selected report? Why doesn't somebody stand up and say, excuse me, Mr. President, we've got a very huge, dangerous situation on the southern border, and you're not really ever addressing it. You won't even go down there. And you've got a border czar. Kamala Harris, your vice president, she won't go down there. Why are you not dealing with this situation? You know?
No, I know the answer is quite simple. It's the American people are complacent, and they're in many instances naive about what the long term effects of this thing is going to be. And if we didn't take in 500 or 1,000 or 1 million people that are not supposed to be here, unless it impacts you and your trip to McDonald's or your children's education in the next, you know, 2 months or 3 months, like COVID did. You see, the country got all wound up over COVID because everybody in the country was scared, and it brought out the best in us. This doesn't bring out anything in us because people don't know and they don't care.
I think you're right. So the general apathy, so that if people would rise up, other than the people along the border, and if people would rise up in other parts of the country, you think they would do something or have to do something?
Well, what is your definition of rising up? That's the whole thing right there.
I don't know. I mean, but it always comes down to why are they doing it? Why were they opposed to a border wall? Why are they opposed to increasing and refining surveillance? And you've given them, you know, you've come up with many ideas that could be used, but they're oblivious or they don't want to hear it.
Well, because in the long term, as far as their long view, just like in the stock market. You know, some people buy stocks and they're concerned about what it does tomorrow, and many people buy stocks because they know it's eventually going to go up in a year or two or three, and that's the way they invest. It's the same thing with this. The Democrats know that overall, history has shown that when they have huge migrant inflows, illegal migrant inflows, and they make them legal because they eventually do, and they eventually have amnesties, that the vast majority of them, at least in the first and second generation, vote Democratic. And well, that's their true power. They're looking for power. They're going to take over the Congress. They're going to take over the House and the Senate. It will be theirs. And pretty soon, and the presidency. And what else do they need? The Supreme Court, who knows what's going to happen to that. But that's how, and eventually, the long term for this is going to be that they're politically going to, they're almost eliminate the Republican Party from any type of power in this country.
Yeah. That is so scary and Machiavellian, you know. I want to turn, by the way, we're talking with Neville Kramer, and along with being a security consultant, he's gone overseas to other countries, and he helps corporations with their security needs. But I wanted to talk with you also about what is going on security-wise, I guess, for Jewish people in this country. You've seen some of the attacks. Obviously, what's going on in the country of Israel, Hamas, and you know, the attacks now into Tel Aviv. I don't know. I mean, you're not directly involved with anything that would have to do with this, but as a security man, I mean, if I was a Jewish person living in this country right now, I'd be kind of afraid to be walking down the street. It seems like there's, I don't know, the negative press that is out there. I just wanted to kind of get a thought, you know, from you on all of this.
You'll be very surprised at this answer, but I've had meetings. I've been in meetings with the Anti-Defamation League and when I was in Arizona. And I can tell you that the saddest thing about the Jewish community, especially in the United States, is they do not look at the Israelis and learn from the Israelis about security. You cannot go to Israel and find an Israeli, anywhere in that country that doesn't have some kind of armament in their house. Mm-hmm. Most of them have Uzis. And this is a lesson that the Jews in the United States have not learned. The FBI is not going to protect you, and your local police are not going to protect you, and neither state police aren't going to protect you. The people who are going to protect you are yourself. And we have a Second Amendment, and if there's any group in this country that should take advantage of the Second Amendment, it's the Jews, because they're historically they have continuously been attacked in one way or another. And this thing going on, look at what happened in New York in Times Square.
Yeah.
Look at what happened in Los Angeles. Okay, if any one of those Jews had simply armed themselves, that's kind of stuff would have come to an end immediately, because the people who are attacking them would know they're armed.
Neville, do you think it's going to get the same kind of press that some of the other groups are getting? It seems like the media likes to focus in on one race versus another. We had a little bit of a period here with the Asian Americans, after that horrible situation in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we've had, of course, white and black clashes, of course. Do you think that the media will provide Jewish people with the same kind of concern that they're giving to other groups that way?
No, because there's a sentiment amongst much of the left wing in this country that the Jews and the Israelis are the offenders. These are the people that they're keeping the Palestinians down, and therefore, and quietly, they should be attacked.
Yeah, I think that's an honest answer. I think you're right. They're not going to give the same attention to it. Not at all. Hey, real quickly, I know you've got to run, and we thank you so very much for coming on. I really mean that this morning. I just thought about the security at the U.S. Capitol. I wonder, we've been fawning over security and fencing and everything else around the Capitol building because of the alleged insurrection on January the 6th. You know, it's like, oh, my God, you know, we've got to be so. Why don't these same politicians, they're ignoring the southern border, but they certainly are making sure they're protected. That's kind of hypocritical, in my opinion.
Paul, how about this bill that's about to go through Congress? Just imagine this, $1.9 billion to secure the Capitol?
Yeah, for what? I mean, how? What are they going to do? Are they going to build a golden fence?
I mean, this is just, I mean, talk about, what are they going to do with all that money?
I know, that's what I mean.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Well,
How about a moat? Why don't we have a big moat?
Yes.
Now that I think about it, wouldn't a moat look nice? We can fill the moat with we can fill the moat. Let's see, we'd still have some money left over, of course. We'll have to fill the moat with liquid gold.
Yeah, great.
Oh my goodness.
They've got
goodness.
Plenty of the gold up there to do it with.
I know.
Printing press.
Oh my.
Anyway, listen, we're Monday morning quarterbacks when it comes to security. Look at what happened in the PGA yesterday. I mean,
yeah,
the golf tournament ended, and they basically almost ran Brooks Koepka over, you know, while they were rushing to see the guy. It's a failure of our law enforcement to make the necessary security arrangements, and it was the same thing at the Capitol. We're going to have this study come out. You know what it's going to show? It's going to show that the FBI, the Secret Service, the Capitol Police, and everybody involved in the security of the Capitol just failed in their mission. That's all. It just failed. They knew that they were going to have a problem, and they didn't bring enough cops.
Would you call it an insurrection? By the way, is
it's no insurrection. It's a bunch of hooligans.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, they're making it sound like, you know, we almost brought down our government. We had a couple of flag waving people wander through a broken window door, and the like, and wander around and sit in chairs. I mean, that was kind of the extent of it, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And anybody that knows anything about law enforcement or intelligence knows that it was simply a breakdown in there were some decisions that were made that turned out to be wrong.
Yes.
And you pay the consequences, but you don't call it an insurrection.
No.
It's a mistake is what it was, period.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much, Neville. I'm going to let you go. You got to get over to your doctor's appointment. I want you to be, was it an arm, a leg? What happened, may we ask?
I took a fall in a hotel room. I got up out of the bed and never saw the piece of furniture.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, I'm okay.
Oh, good.
Apparently, the fall didn't hurt my mouth any.
No, you sound, and you didn't land on your head, which is good. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of people that wish I had.
No.
My head.
No. You're one of our most favorite people to talk with, and we got to keep that good head, that level head on your shoulders, Neville. Thank you so very much, my friend, and the best on your healing, I guess I could say.
Thanks very much, Paul. Ed, have a great week ahead of you, and we'll look forward to doing it again.
All right, my friend, Neville Kramer.
Thanks.
There he goes. Even when he's got. They're removing a bandage, I guess. I could have made a joke about falling out of bed, but I decided not to. You know, we're a classy program. We keep our thoughts to ourselves when those kinds of things occur. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, is the Republican Party doing a pivot to supposedly reclaim its mantle of fiscal responsibility by going after the Biden spending? We are going to get some thoughts about that and other things from our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. If you cannot listen to us live, you can listen to our podcast. Big Ed has all our shows on podcast. We put them on our website. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, Republicans are saying that they plan to, quote, reclaim the mantle of fiscal responsibility, unquote, as our national debt soars above $28 trillion. I mean, $28 trillion. But, we're looking at Biden and we're talking about how much money they're spending. The first 2 years Trump was in office, did you know that the deficit was larger his first 2 years than the final 2 years of former President Obama's time in office? In other words, Trump was spending money like a drunken sailor himself. I mean, let's be honest. Fiscal responsibility is something both parties have abandoned in these last several years. We got our eye in the northern sky with us, Angelo Ceresi, who is with us every Monday. And Angelo, you know, I know you like Donald Trump, and we both agree he did a lot of very important things, but he also spent a lot of money, did he not?
Yes, he did, quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, we're at $28 trillion. He did not slow that down. Now, under Obama, we doubled the national debt. You know that, right? We were around $10 trillion something, and it doubled under Obama in 8 years. Then comes Trump, and he continued the spending. So
they all do.
Yeah.
No matter who gets in there, they keep spending and spending more and more.
I mean, neither one of us are economists, but I'm worried. I'm worried about inflation. I mean, we're now talking about budgets. We don't use the word billions, you know, with a B.
Right.
We use the word trillions with a T. Now when we talk about budgets coming out of the White House and going before the Congress, I think it's very scary.
Well, it is. I mean, like you talk about the inflation. I went to put gas in one of my cars yesterday, over $3 a gallon.
Yeah.
The last 4 years, I never had to worry about that.
Over $3 a gallon. Now, you're in Rochester, New York.
Yes.
And I'm thinking here we're close to what, Ed? We're close to about 295, 293, something like that. We're getting there, too. And,
put a 55 cents a gallon gas tax besides.
Right.
They do that, and you're talking almost $4 a gallon. In 4 years, I mean, my wife's car, she had a little Chevy Equinox, a four-cylinder, right?
Okay.
It was a little less than half. It cost me $30.
Wow.
To put half a tank of gas in the car. To fill it up was going to cost me $60.
In her little car?
In her little car. I've got a 2012 Ford Explorer. That's going to cost me $70, $80
yeah.
a gallon. Not a gallon, but
sure.
to fill my tank up.
Are you old enough to...
About,
I'm sorry.
Taking money away from us. All they're doing is this inflation is going to kill us.
Do you remember the Jimmy Carter gas rationing days?
Yes, I do. Back in the early 70s?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, it was between 70, between 76 and 78 or something like that, mid to late 70s, yeah. I mean, do you think we're headed that way again?
Well, if the Democrats have their way, it'll be that way again.
Yeah.
I mean, for the last 4 years, we have had no problems, right? No problems in Israel and the Gaza Strip. The gasoline prices were stable. Everything was more stable. Today, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. So things are, it's not just here with gasoline prices. You just mentioned what's going on in Israel. Also, Iran is erupting again. North Korea, Little Rocket Man, he's making the news again, too.
Yes.
There's a lot of chain rattling going on. There's also trouble.
They're testing Biden, and they're going to see how he handles it.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you think they think that Biden is a pushover?
Oh, yeah. They know that we've got our country divided right now. You know the old saying, united we stand, divided we fall?
Yeah.
These people in the other countries, they're not dumb. You know, they know that we're a divided nation, people going at each other's throats, demoralizing and demeaning the police departments all across the country. They see that. And this could be a ripe opportunity for somebody to try to take over this country. You got Black Lives Matter, that is a communist organization. You got Antifa, which is more fascist than anything else. They're a terrorist group, a domestic terrorist group.
Right.
And they see this. And this country, just push it over the edge just a little bit more, it would be ripe for a takeover.
Well, the socialist mantra is to divide people one against the other. Because
that's... what's his name? Saul Alinsky's playbook.
Yeah. Yeah. And even Abraham Lincoln said, a house divided against itself will not stand.
And this is what's happening right now. You've got people in Congress like Ilhan Omar, Tlaib, Ocasio-Cortez, talking about our country, how bad it is, this and that, how they're siding with the Palestinians. I mean, Israel's our number one ally in the Middle East.
Yes.
And they're going against our own people, and our own Congress are going against what this country stands for.
I would think every Jewish voter in this country would become a Republican, Angela. What do you think?
I would hope so, and I hope they realize that. Under the Obama administration, they turned the other side of the cheek toward the Israelis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what they're doing right now by Biden not stepping up to the plate in the beginning is kind of turning the cheek.
Biden used to give a full-throated support to Israel years back. Not so much anymore. He's being pulled to the left, and you're right. You're correct. We've got all of these people
he's afraid of the radicals in the Democratic Party.
Do you think Mitch McConnell and the Republicans have been more vocal in their support of Israel? I mean, let me ask you, put it this way. Do you think they should be more vocal?
They should be, and they should be more proactive. Anytime the Democrats want to do something, walk right out of the building just like the Democrats used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Walk right out and be more proactive. And more vocal about it.
I'm going to read you a story real quickly. You mentioned it, the police and the way people are dealing with police. Did you know the mayor of St. Louis, which has, by the way, the worst murder rate in the country. Did you know St. Louis is number one in terms of...
I did not know that until now.
They are number one. And by the way, their murder rate is at a 50-year high. They have a woman, Democrat mayor. And her name is Tashara Jones. She became the city's first black female mayor last month. She is going to defund the police with the worst murder rate in the country. She's planning on, she said, the head of the city's correction department is leaving. She announced his resignation. Let's see. They had, last year, St. Louis had 87 murders per 100,000 residents, the worst rate in the country, its highest rate in 50 years. She is planning on defunding the police and not rehiring those that have left. What are they thinking in St. Louis? What are they thinking?
Well, and the people, the citizens of St. Louis, are allowing her to do that.
Yes.
They should be out protesting in front of City Hall.
Exactly.
Demanding that they that she don't do that. Our mayor here in Rochester, she just did her budget. They've taken $5 million away from the Rochester Police Department and going to give it to the Police Advisory Board.
Oh, that'll
the
work.
The Police Advisory Board are not friends to the Rochester Police. They're out. Everybody's out to defund the police agencies all across the country.
Yeah.
That's the trend right now. And what's going to happen is crime is going to go higher.
Well, you would think that the inner city people would be the ones to rise up and say, no, no, no.
But they have become so complacent, along with the masks, the believing all the stuff that they have done, keeping the children out of schools, the whole nine yards. The American people are doing the same thing what the Polish people did in the Warsaw Ghetto during World War II.
Wow.
I mean, if anybody doesn't see it, something is wrong. I mean, our country right now is falling off to the wayside. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, defunding the police, going against the Israelis, our own congressional people. I mean, that's what they are, Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and AOC. I mean, they're going against our own nature, our against our own country. Other countries see that, and they're saying, hey, look at the U.S., man. We could take over just like that.
Yeah. We are being, I mean, we've been pushed further and further and further to the left on almost every issue. We used to be the country of freedom. We used to be the country of freedom, personal responsibility, the country that you had free speech. All of these things are endangered now.
Right. You got Facebook. You got Twitter. They may be separate organizations, but I hope to God that if the Republicans take over in 2022, that they actually disband Twitter, Facebook, break it up.
Treat it like some sort of a with antitrust and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
Very interesting. Well, I want to thank you so very much. Your buddy and brother is out doing some charity work this morning. We want to always doff our hat to him because of that. And as always, Angelo, it is a pleasure to talk with you every Monday.
Same here. So I appreciate you having me on the air.
Of course. Thanks so much, my friend. We'll talk, I hope, next week again.
Yes. Thank you. Take care.
All right, my friend.
Stay safe.
All right. Angelo, our eye in the northern sky. Okay. Let us take our final break, among other things, in another edition of Campus Quackery, parents rising up against a Florida County School Board's pledge to dismantle white advantage.
Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and we are so delighted that you are with us. A week before Memorial Monday, by the way, a Florida County School Board could revamp its core principles following weeks of backlash by parents over a pledge to dismantle white advantage in the school system. In a mission statement posted to the board's website, it vowed to eliminate racism and systems of inequity and said the board is committed, this is the board now, to dismantling structures rooted in white advantage and transforming our system by hearing and elevating underrepresented voices, sharing power, recognizing and eliminating bias, and redistributing resources to provide equitable outcomes. Equitable outcomes. Yeah, that's what we want. Equitable outcomes. Every time you hear somebody say, yes, we want an equitable outcome, run the other way. Mm. You know? Run the other way. In other words, we don't want you to work hard and be better than somebody else. Oh, boy. Anyway, parents of this, have said the statement goes way too far. Here's one from one of the parents. Being a parent of both a Hispanic and a Caucasian child, this equity statement leads me to believe you're viewing my children's academics by the color of their skin or their ethnic background. Another parent reportedly said she will no longer allow her kids to attend the county's public school system. She said equity, as you are calling it, is a political view and it is racist. None of this despicable political racist nonsense should be pushed on innocent children and has absolutely no business being taught in schools. You know, that's the other thing. These kids are so impressionable at that age, right? The young ones in grade school. And you're foisting this whole thing upon them as if you're teaching them to become racist. You know? You're almost teaching them. You're saying, look, you're the kid next to you is who's a different race than you are is not being treated as well. Well, those children did not know that. Mm. Those little kids, when they come in, they treat everybody equally. I mean, this is the thing. They're so impressionable.
You're not born with racism. You're taught it. You're taught it. You're
exactly.
Not born with it, you know.
Exactly. You have to experience it.
Yeah.
You know? You have to experience it.
Hey, we had breaking news come over the wire just while you were talking with Angelo.
Yeah.
On June 26th, Florida will end the federal unemployment compensation of $300 a month.
Oh, finally.
So you got a month to get a job, people.
You know, I was wondering, because there are a bunch of states, this is going to be about the 18th state, that said they're not going to accept that additional $300. And I knew Ron DeSantis in Florida. You know, we need to have these people back working.
Well, the Democrats are saying that's going to hurt people because the reason they're not going back to work, we think they're lazy. We think they're not going, the Democrats saying they're not going back to work because they're still afraid of COVID and they don't have any to watch their kids.
Oh, wow. I see. Yeah, well, that's a nice excuse. Hey, before we get to our top 10, which, by the way, we have a good top 10, I want to ask Ed, we got our beloved Lightning playing again. They could win tonight, and they will be in the second round of the NHL playoffs. However, I am very, very worried because one of our best, if not our best player, Nikita Kucherov, was hit behind his kneecap, and he went down like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that was a little acting job, but remember, it was a stick hit. It was not a kick or something that could ruin his.
No, it
ligaments.
Didn't look that bad, but that's there's not a pad behind your...
Right, and it hurts. It hurts, and it probably will hurt, but I think he skated with a whole lot worse injuries than that, so I think it'll be all right.
Well, I mean, if we've got him working out okay, and we've still got Stamkos...
I think this team would like to end it tonight.
I think they could.
Yeah. How about the Rays yesterday? Did you see that wild game?
No.
In the ninth, they were down by two. They got two back. They got one back, and then Toronto loads the bases. The Rays loads the base, and Toronto walks the fourth run in. Walks the fifth run in.
Really?
Walks the sixth run in.
You're kidding.
The same pitcher? The one pitcher threw four straight balls, got yanked, and he was upset. He was dropping F bombs on the way out, blah, 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 blah. The next guy comes in. Four straight pitches, boom, all the way around.
Wow.
I was yelling at the TV, don't you dare swing that bat.
Yeah, exactly. They cannot find the plate.
I don't know if Kevin Cash was just telling him to just stand there and look pretty.
Exactly. So they won, right?
Yes, they did. So now they're 10 straight.
10?
10 straight wins. Yes. They are now tied for tops in the league.
Oh, right. I did not know that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. That, okay, it is time for our top 10. We have a good one. This is from Self, S-E-L-F Incorporated. Self Inc., I guess. Top 10 states with the highest lifetime taxes. They actually went and they figured all of the different taxes you pay, not just income tax in the state, but all of the property taxes and the sales taxes and you name the tax and the gas taxes, okay? And they came up with the top 10 that if you spent your life there, here's what you would pay, the average person living there. So here we go. Top 10 with the highest lifetime taxes. Number 10, Illinois, where you would spend 43% of your income on taxes, and you would pay over your lifetime $694,000 to live there in the Prairie State. Number 9, Maryland. 37% of your tax, your income would go to taxes, and you would spend basically $700,000 in taxes in your lifetime there. Number 8, the wonderful Golden State of California. 45% of your income goes to taxes of some sort, and you will spend $711,000 in your lifetime in taxes. Number 7, New York. We knew New York would be in there. 44% of your income to taxes, $735,000 lifetime. Number 6, that little pin, Rhode Island, 47% of your income to taxes, $767,000. Number 5, staying in New England, New Hampshire, 46% to taxes, $779,000 lifetime. Wow. Number 4, Washington, D.C. I'm not surprised. $790,000 lifetime in taxes, 35% of your income. Number 3, back to the New England area, Connecticut. $805,000. 43% of your income goes to taxes. Mm. All right. Number 2, Massachusetts, $827,000 you will spend in taxes, 44% of your income. All right, Ed.
Well, it's expensive to live in the Northeast, it I is. Guess, you know?
All right.
I was thinking California, the sun and all that stuff. And we know it's not Florida. So I'm going to stay in the Northeast. Let's go with New Jersey.
Roll the drum. Oh, twice. I like this. Bingo, you are right.
Really?
Yeah, New Jersey, where you spend 49.5% of your total earnings go to taxes, and you will spend $932,000, almost $1 million in taxes in your lifetime in the Garden State of New Jersey. That is very scary. By the way, tomorrow we're going to do the top 10 states with the lowest lifetime taxes. Do you think? I'm just going to ask you. We have a moment. That's why I'm asking.
I think Florida will be in there somewhere.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you.
I think like Florida, North Carolina. Seems to be people are flocking in Texas, maybe.
Okay.
I think they got to be somewhere in the top 5.
Okay.
In that area.
Okay. I'm just taking that all in, Ed. I'm not going to say anything. We'll wait until tomorrow to find out. Thank you so very much for being with us. Drive carefully, be safe, and always remember, freedom works.